The text is the gospel reading from St. Luke. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Here ends our text. What's he to you? Epiphany is when we look at how God manifests himself to us. So it's fair to ask, what's the second person of the Holy Trinity to you? I think he's several things to you, even as he was to Peter. He was master to Peter. Peter had worked hard all night. It was a bad day at work. He and his fishing company hadn't caught a thing. Though he had worked the night shift, when he got home, he still had to tend to the nets so they'd be ready for that night's work. Jesus is there teaching. Jesus had called him about a year before this to be a fisher of men. He went, but lately he had returned to his fishing business. Peter is dead tired from fishing the whole night. So you can imagine how he felt when Jesus plopped down in the boat and asked him to put out a little from shore. Now Peter can't go on washing the nets, but that's okay. Anything for the master. But that's not all. Jesus pushes his patience even further, saying, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Never mind that fish are usually caught in the early morning, late evening, or night, not at midday. Never mind that Jesus is a carpenter, not a commercial fisherman like Peter. Peter answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Notice, Peter did not say he would let down the nets for a catch, like Jesus said. Just that he would let down the nets at the word of his master. Peter didn't expect to catch a thing. Jesus is master to Peter. Can you relate to that? Is the emphasis in your relationship with Jesus on listening and obeying? No matter how tired you are, no matter how little you feel like obeying, you do it. No matter how unreasonable the request is, no matter how much it goes against what you think, you do it. And what's wrong with that? Isn't obedience a cornerstone of the believer's life? Noah is commanded to build an ark. He does. Abraham is ordered to sacrifice his son. He does. Moses is directed to build the tabernacle. He does. Doesn't St. Paul refer to himself as a slave of Christ? Doesn't St. John call himself a bondservant of Christ? Well, you got me there. Jesus is master, and we are to obey him. But if that is what he is primarily to you, then your relationship with him will be one of obligation. Can't you hear the obligation in Peter's words? "Master, at your word, I'll let down the nets." If Jesus is primarily master to you, then his sacraments are something you do in obedience to him. They are ordinances which you obey. You baptize your children because he says so. You come to church because you have to. You go to communion because he tells you to. Words like have to, ought, must, and should are prominent in your relationship. What's he to you? Like Peter, Jesus is master to you. But like Peter, he's also Lord. After the nets caught a huge amount of fish, Peter called Jesus Lord. The nets that Peter thought he would be hauling in empty, needing to be washed all over again for nothing, were filled to the point of breaking. So many fish were in the nets that two boats meant to hold many fish almost sank. This floored Peter. He fell at Jesus' knees saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Peter is not saying he is Lord in the sense of the word master, or as some translations have it, sir. Peter is saying he's Jehovah, he's Yahweh. Peter has entered into the presence of the Lord, even as Isaiah did in the Old Testament reading. But a vision of a six-winged seraph didn't do it for Peter. Peter doesn't do well with visions. In Acts, he has to be shown a vision three times before he gets the point. But this incident with the fish speaks to where Peter lives. Peter knows about fishing, fish patterns, and record catches. Peter knows that only Jehovah, creator and Lord of fish and fishermen, could do something like this. Jesus often speaks to Peter with fish. He teaches Peter about paying the temple tax by sending him fishing. After the resurrection, he will teach Peter about the ministry by means of another catch of fish. Through this fishing miracle, here, Peter sees the glory of the Lord. And so he sees, like Isaiah did, his own sinfulness. This is the problem when Jesus is primarily Lord to you. Seeing the Lord is wonderful, but an awe-filled sight. What comfort for sinners is there in seeing the Holy Lord? Seeing Him as the sovereign Lord of not only fish, but of salvation and damnation, well, that's no comfort to sinners. Jesus is Lord, is, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, a Holy Spirit-inspired confession. But try finding rest for your soul in it. Don't believe me? Look at the lessons. There's no comfort for Isaiah or Peter in the Lord's holiness and majesty. And there's none for you either. Jesus is Lord is a proper confession of faith, but you'll get yourself lost in a maze of blinding light, consuming fire, and innumerable questions if this is what He is mainly to you. The Lord's holiness is not reconcilable with your guilt. The Lord's power is not fathomable by your brain. The Lord's ways are past your understanding. Isaiah and Peter get just a glimpse of the Lord's power, holiness, and ways. And Isaiah says, "I'm ruined." And Peter says, "Go away." Thankfully, the story doesn't end here. Jesus isn't only Master and Lord to Peter, He's Jesus too. After Peter begs the Lord to go away from him, the sinner, the text says, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." Jesus, the name Jesus means Jehovah saves. Jesus is none other than the Jehovah who walked with Adam in Eden, shut Noah in the ark, dined with Abraham, and appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai. And Jesus, Jehovah, is here to save, to bring lost Adam back into Eden, to wash the world's sins away with His blood, not drown the world with water, to give His body and blood for food and drink, and to keep the laws that He gave at Sinai. Jehovah, wrapped in flesh and blood, is a friend to sinners because He so wrapped Himself to bear their obligations, to bear their debts, bear their punishments. The Lord is approachable in the man of Nazareth, the virgin son, the child in the manger, the one hanging on the cross. The man sitting in Peter's boat is the Lord who receives sinners and even eats with them. The Lord who knows where the fish in the sea are and can send them into Peter's net isn't sitting in Peter's boat to scare him, but to cast his fears away. Jesus is whom Peter followed. Luke wants you to take note of that. The text does not actually begin one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. No, it just says He was standing by the lake. Peter goes on to call this He first Master and then Lord. But at the end, after Peter's confession of sin, we read, "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men.'" So, the text continues, "They pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed Him." That is, Jesus. Jesus is the one to follow. Acts 4:12 says of the name Jesus, not of the name Master or Lord, that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look who gives the baptismal command. Matthew 28 says, "Jesus came and spoke." Who speaks the words of institution? Not the Master, not the Lord, but Jesus. Even when Paul passes them down decades later, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I have delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed." When absolution is instituted, John tells us the disciples rejoiced that it was the Lord. But when it comes to the actual institution of absolution, John writes, "Jesus said to them." The Holy Spirit highlights that God wants to deal with us only through the virgin-born, Nazareth-raised, earth-walking, normal-looking, cross-dying Jesus. But like Peter, we are tempted to deal with Him as Master and as Lord. This is socially acceptable to do it. You can speak publicly of Jesus as your Master because people speak freely of this one or that thing being their Master. And you can say Jesus is your Lord if you speak of Him as exalted like Isaiah saw Him. But it's another matter to just speak of Jesus. To say you follow Jesus, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Jesus who walked the earth with dirty feet and a hungry stomach. Jesus who Pontius Pilate nailed to a cross. It's fine for Sunday school children to say they follow Jesus. But it sounds childish coming from adults. Then may we become as children. Because following Jesus as Master will put you in a state of obligation. And following Him as Lord will put you in a state of fear. And that's not what the one who came to save sinners gently and lowly wants. Jesus wants you to touch, handle, and even taste Him, not out of obedience, not in fear, but for salvation. He puts Himself in the waters of baptism. He puts Himself in the lowly elements of bread and wine. And He puts Himself in the ordinary words spoken by your pastor. In these physical things, Jesus brings to you all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not so you can serve God as Master. Not so you can cower before God as Lord. But so you can follow God as Savior. What's He to you? Master, of course. Lord, certainly. But the church doesn't dwell on the image of Him as stern Master or unapproachable Lord. Most often, He's shown in the manger, on the cross, walking the earth, teaching from a boat, blessing little children. He's shown as just plain Jesus. Not because Jesus as Master or Lord is hard to depict, but because there is no comfort in Jesus as Master. And there's too much fear in Jesus as Lord. That's why while Peter obeyed his Master and feared his Lord, he followed Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We sing.